everyone, come and listen to this.
It's a brand new podcast with Phoebe and Chris.
Gonna share some laughs and talk about topics.
When we spit on the mic, you know we're gonna rock it.
Let me start with general introductions.
So come on, Phoebe, with no interruptions.
Hey, I'm Phoebe, I'm 20 years old. No matter where you take me, I'll always be cold.
And my name's Chris, my printer is an Epson. I pray to one god, and that's Carly Rae Jepsen.
Now that you know us, there's one thing left.
We ask the question, are we famous yet? Musical laughing.
Very funny. I love it. Hello and welcome to a very special episode of
Are We Famous Yet? Musical.
The musical. That was beautiful on both of our parts. Thank you. In today's episode, Chris and I will be reviewing two new albums that have dropped in the recent months.
Yes. We both stan, and I think both of these were cultural moments, which I feel like we have to address, and we haven't addressed so far. And
no.
I think I don't want to get called out. I don't want people questioning us and about whether or not we actually exist in a real space, whether or not we exist in a vacuum, and you only ever see or hear about us on the podcast.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. We're not our own entities. We are part of the world in which you all live in.
Yeah.
And today we'll be looking at, firstly, a Miley Cyrus album, and also a
Taylor Swift album.
Beautiful. So I think maybe we could just go track by track and break them down as we go.
So we've got an album each kind of that we've studied up on.
Yes.
Phoebe, as a big longtime Smiler, as you know, listeners, will be covering Plastic Heart by Miley Cyrus. And I will be as not a big Swiftie, but I don't see anybody else in the room.
Nope.
We'll be talking about Evermore by Taylor Swift.
And it's also interesting, I haven't listened to Taylor Swift's album at all. So I'll be getting just new opinions
info,
on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your word as Bible.
That's good because I have actually been streaming Plastic Heart. It's so interesting.
You have. Yeah. And so because of that, we can both comment on Miley's and I will listen intently for Taylor's.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I do love Taylor Swift. Her 1989 album is one of my all-time favorite albums.
It's one of the best albums. I agree.
Not even by her. I mean, albums of all time.
Period.
When I went to America in 2014, I blasted that album. So now I can play it back and like it really makes me reminisce, takes me back to being a 15-year-old in America with my big sister.
That's same as Theo. So, okay. So the reason I've listened to Taylor's albums is because of Theo. Mm-hmm. Taylor's his favorite artist. So it's kind of, I had to study up
in order
to be accepted into the fold.
Yes.
Essentially. So, but he had the same thing, going to America, streaming Welcome to New York.
Wow. Yes. On the way. Theo and I are the same person, I think. Yeah. Kind of scary.
Kind of interesting that I've fallen in love with Manu.
With two. With two Phoebes.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. So to get started, I want to look at track one of Miley's album Plastic Hearts, which is WTF Do I Know? Strong title.
WTF Do She Know?
So, this song reminds me of, like, old Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus vibes.
Yeah.
Obviously, not in, like, the content of what she's singing about, but the actual vibe of the song feels to me very much something that would have appeared on Hannah Montana.
It gives me, like Jet vibes, the Australian band Jet.
I haven't listened to them.
Okay. I think they've disbanded since, so they're not around. Oh. But, anyway, the beginning very gives me much. Did I
Very
make a
gives
sentence?
Me much.
Very gives me much. Full stop.
And so, it's like a very early 2000s song to
me.
Yeah. Interesting choice to start off the album. There are a lot of songs on this album that I like love and they're all like more the sad, like lyrical ones than like the really like rocky ones. I'm very glad that Miley Cyrus has stepped up into this album, which is like more like punk rock. Like she's got lots of older artists on here. I'm glad that she's changed, but definitely my songs on this album that are the favorite, like the slower, sadder ones, as always with Miley. I love those sort of songs. What's your first song on T Swift's El Burino?
Are we going one for one?
May as well.
Just to spice it up in case. Maybe someone doesn't care about the other album.
Exactly.
Now they have to listen to the whole thing.
Exactly.
So the first track on Evermore is titled Willow.
Ooh.
Good opening song. The other opening song was Cardigan, I believe, on Folklore. They're like sister albums.
Yep.
But I like this open single, I guess, more than Cardigan.
Mm-hmm.
I think overall I like this album more.
Oh.
No, it's a common opinion. there's now like 500 million different remixes to this song. There's like a whole extra re-P.
Wow.
So my favorite version is the like Thwomp Witch. Like
Thwomp.
So Elvira. Not the spooky Queen of the Night from the 80s, Elvira, but just an Elvira did a remix of the song.
Right.
And it's on repeat at the gym.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'll be in the gym just working on my fitness. Willow remix. Witness.
Ooh-wee. I think the song's about, it's about like desiring someone and then like, I think she was saying it's like you want to cast a spell on them to make them like you.
Oh.
Hey, you like Charmed. Maybe this is right up your alley.
I love Charmed. All right. I'll listen to Willow.
Stream. Yeah.
Stream.
So, what's your second track?
The second track is the titular track of the album, Plastic Heart.
P-Heart.
So, to me, Plastic Hearts, it was one of the singles that came out beforehand, as well as Midnight Sun. It's okay. I didn't love it. It's like, I think it does well in like highlighting that she's like into a new genre of her music. But I don't feel it captures the essence. As I'll go through, I'll tell you later on the ones that I personally would have chosen to be the singles. And it's always a bit disappointing. Obviously, with these huge artists like Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus, people are going to listen to all of the songs. But in terms of like radio play, obviously it's going to be those couple of songs from the album that really that get push. On the radio.
Yeah.
So I feel a bit sad that like some of these songs that, in my opinion, are better aren't going to be played on the radio as much.
I definitely, you'd probably agree with me. I reckon for her, the second half of the album was a lot stronger.
A lot stronger. Yeah. The first like 5-6 songs, I was a bit like,
cool.
Yeah, these are new songs.
That halfway point though, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, there's win a transition. After win after win. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Same.
It just gets better.
Mm. So track number 2 on Evermore was the song Champagne Problems.
Oh.
Which is a common song title. There's a lot of people who have a champagne problems song. Meghan Trainor. So anyway, so back to the superior Meghan. Champagne problems. So I believe I've checked like the synopsis for some of these songs. So this one was about a woman. This one, T. So it's about a woman who turns down a marriage proposal like right before Christmas.
Aww.
Like he's like home with all the family and everything and he proposed and she was like,
no.
No. No, thank you. Like, oh, fuck.
That's crazy.
Right? But I love a good marriage proposal rejection.
Oh, some of my favorite videos I couldn't. To watch. I could not.
It's any kind of cringe I can tolerate is a marriage proposal rejection, especially in public.
Oh, seeing like the flash girl, mob style. Like,
cover her face with her hands.
And then shake her head.
Shake her head. Because you're always from a distance. So you can only like gather what's going on. Obsessed. Obsessed. Yuck. But in this one, in this song in particular, Theo says, because I get my tail info from him, he said that a lot of the time, she does a thing with the chorus where on the last chorus, she kind of spins maybe like the point of view or the position around of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So like she's talking about how like she didn't want the ring and so it's not on her hand. She took the ring off and like her photo was in his wallet and blah, blah, blah. But by the end, she's singing about his next person. Like she will wear your ring and her photo will be in your wallet. Aww. And like he'll find someone else.
That's sad.
But also, maybe don't propose around Christmas and maybe don't dump someone on Christmas.
Redump. Yeah.
I was going to say reject, but I changed my mind to dump. Don't take a dump on Christmas. No pooing at Christmas time.
No pooing at Christmas. My third song on the album, let me have a look, is Angels Like You. This is actually one of my top 5. On the album.
You know what? I agree. I think we just have the same.
We do have very much similar stances. Yeah. We like the same sort of Miley songs.
Mm.
This song is basically saying, I'm going to infer, as many people have, most of these songs are about Liam Hemsworth. I'm going to infer that what she's saying is that the angel that is Liam Hemsworth, he didn't deserve Miley. Mm. He deserves someone more traditional than Miley, like into monogamy and stability. And basically the whole song is saying that Liam was too good for Miley. And like an angel like you doesn't need to be with someone like me who dances below. She's talking about like down in hell. Mm. He's an angel in heaven. And basically we all wanted We all wanted Miley and Liam to be together. But they're just two different people now than the people they were when they were 16 and they fell in love on the set of the last song. Oh, it makes me so sad.
music episode.
Yeah, music episode, hey. Baby. All right.
Okay, and track number 3 from Evermore is the song Gold Rush. This one was produced by Jack Antonoff. And so I know Theo was very excited coming into this one because his favorite song, August, from Folklore, the Jack Antonoff track. Also, he loves Jack. So Jack had tweeted, like, if you're a August stan, like, I hope you become a Rushy, as he said, for a Gold Rush stan. So it's the third song. It's about being jealous because you like someone everyone else likes. It's fine. That's all I've got to say about it, really. Didn't really stand out. I don't know. Jack didn't make the winning track on this album, you know, like he did last time, I guess. Yeah. So, interesting.
Very interesting.
Not much else really to say about it.
And that's on that.
Yeah.
Track number 4 is Gimme What I Want. No, I take back. Track number 4 is Prisoner, feat. Dua Lipa. I didn't like it.
No.
Prisoner, prisoner. It felt like something I wrote with my sister when we made a band when we were 5 and 10.
Mm.
It just doesn't feel like a good song to me.
Yeah. Something about Dua Lipa, I don't know. I liked Future Nostalgia.
Yeah.
Something about her vibe, just her energy. I don't know.
I just didn't like it. I really feel like they're doing like the grab of like 2 pop stars together and made it real like forcing a single. That's just how I feel. I feel like it's being forced. It's not that good of a song.
It's very much like, who's the it girl at the moment? Oh, Dua Lipa. She did a lot this like earlier this year. So she's, you know, someone on the radar. Let's put her on a song.
Exactly. That's exactly how it feels. And just like, just all the promo, and I get it, I get you're advertising an album. Mm. But as I've said, there are just so many songs on here that are better. Mm. That's all I want to say.
Yeah.
And I'm just disappointed that the main ones that have been made into singles, Plastic Hearts, Midnight Sun and Prisoner, like just weren't the vibe.
Weren't it for you.
They just weren't it. So I'm very disappointed in that aspect. Yeah.
So track number 4 from Evermore is Tis the Damn Season. Apparently the first time she's used a swear in a track title. Damn.
Oh, damn.
And again, this kind of like, so this came out on the 13th of December, I believe, this album.
Mm-hmm.
I think 13's her like number.
Yeah.
Is her birthday? I'm not a big Swiftie.
I don't know.
I'm not an expert, guys. Swifties help me. I know Swifties listen. Hey, Michaela. Not Theo. Still not listening.
Aww.
No.
Anyway.
So it's about like coming back home for the holidays and kind of rekindling with an old flame.
Oh.
Yeah. So I like the vibes, like vibes on this track, like the instrumentals. And it's fun that like it's not necessarily a Christmas album, but it's...
But it has Christmas undertones.
It's like the diehard of Christmas albums. Like it's about other things, but because Christmas is mentioned a couple of times, you can say it's a Christmas album.
Right. Track number 5 on Plastic Hearts is Gimme What I Want. This song I find very empowering.
Mm.
The whole sort of vibe of this whole album is it's empowering and self-reflective, and I love when artists can be self-deprecating and admit that they were the one that wasn't the best.
Mm.
And so a lot of this album is Miley saying like, yeah, I'm not the best person, and like Liam was too good for me. Like we just didn't mesh well. I need someone a bit different. And this song, Give Me What I Want, it was just so empowering because it's literally like, if you're not going to give me what I want, then I'm going to have to do it myself. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I'm going to have to go and find someone who's going to do it for me, or I'm just going to give it to myself. So love it.
Slay.
Real girl boss. I love Miley.
Real, so multi-level marketing.
Oh, multi-level. So MLM
queen.
Yeah.
All right, so track number 5 on Evermore. I believe, so what I've learned again, I'm telling you what I've learned because I've just learned this stuff too. Track number 5 is like an important one on her albums.
Oh, okay.
Because I think in the second half of her like career or something, first half it was kind of unintentional, but later on it became like a thing, like an in crowd kind of whatever, that the 5th song was the most like vulnerable.
Right.
And so it happened. It seems to be for me, without realizing, the 5th tracks tend to be like my favorite.
Wow.
From a Swiftian album. Mm. So maybe at heart, like I was born to be a Swiftie.
I think you were.
So like in Folklore, it was My Tears Ricochet, I believe. which was my favorite one from Folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And from Evermore, it is again my favorite track with the song Tolerate It.
Oh.
Now, this is like, in a way that, so you'll get it. It's not like Mine Right Now vibes, but it's like post Mine Right Now vibes.
Oh, okay.
So kind of how, this is the first one where I like got it instantly, first listen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, this will be the favorite.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'll listen to the rest, but it won't be the favorite. So it's kind of about, it's about putting your heart and soul into someone and then them not really reciprocating at that level.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So like the lyrics were specific and they were like, I was like, shit, I'm kind of relating. She was like, you know, like, I would treat you like a hero coming back. Like, so when you come home, I'd like meet you at the door and I'd make the house nice and I'd do all these things to spoil you. And you kind of just, like, you tolerate it. Like, I'm not getting what I'm giving out in return.
That's a bit sad.
I was like, oh, sad, but I'm also literally relating. Kind of obsessed. Oh, sorry, Theo. But anyway, but like, it was something I appreciated and like, I was with him. We were listening to the album together and I was like, wait, kind of vibing with this song the most. And he was like, sorry, what the fuck?
Excuse me?
Sorry, no, I know you love me, but like, anyways.
Anyway,
he's not here, so you might as well drag him through the mud. Kidding, illy babes. Anyways, it's my favorite.
Period. Okay, so that's your favorite one.
Yeah, sound, chorus,
I'll go and listen to it after we finish recording.
Yeah.
I might listen to it on my drive home. You live quite far from me, so I can listen to the whole album.
For now.
Oh, not for long.
Yeah. Maybe not much long now, as you're listening.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Then track number 6 on Plastic Hearts is Night Crawling, feat Billy Idol.
I was getting into that one.
I was like,
I was starting to turn around at that point.
Yeah, I reckon now is pretty much the point where it starts just getting better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like all the way up to Golden G Street.
Yo!
So I'm getting too excited.
This one, I feel, hasn't been overplayed too much, which I appreciate, but it has been on the radio a bit more than some of the other just general songs in the album, obviously due to Billy Idol being in
Idol.
But, yeah, I was getting into it when I had my first listen through. This is one of the ones I was like, ooh, like, give me what I want, I quite enjoy as well. And then it went into Night Crawling, and then, like, Midnight Sky is the next song, which I'll get into. But after that, after Midnight Sky, it's all up.
Yow freaking Zah. All right. And track 6 on my album Evermore is the song Nobody, No Crime. Bit of a tangent she went on this one. It is essentially, it's a crime story.
Oh.
So it's like not about her feelings. It's Haim's in it.
So
they do a verse. It's this juicy little story about this like missing persons case where like the husband's been cheating on the wife or whatever. And so, and again, it does another callback on the chorus where it was like, I think he's killed her, this like person, but I don't know how to prove it. And then by the end of it, the narrator kills the husband.
Oh.
And she's like, they think someone's killed him, but they can't prove it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Kind of, it was just like a fun story.
Storytelling.
Just, it was just like some isolated little thing that she did.
Just a little story.
I guess wanted to do a little
What
crime.
Was that one called?
Nobody, No Crime.
Nobody, No Crime.
Never found the body.
Oh.
Nobody, No Crime.
Ooh, I'm excited to listen to this album now. You've got to be excited for it. Something I'm not excited for is Midnight Sky. Now, Midnight Sky was the promo song that she used in all of the all of her Instagram teasers and stuff.
Yeah.
Before she announced that an album was actually coming out, so lots of people thought she was just releasing a single, and then it was sort of a surprise album drop.
Yeah.
Midnight Sky, I just don't rate it. I think maybe I would have liked it better if it hadn't been so overplayed before the album even came out.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it at first. Now it's just not the one for me.
That's okay. I'd in my little heart of hearts probably end up liking it a bit more than you because I'll still stream it, but...
See, yeah, I'll skip it, but maybe I'll come back to it because I don't listen to it much now.
Well, distinction, the version I listen to is the Stevie Nicks remix one.
Yeah.
Because whenever I listen to the song... I was like, this reminds me of the, like, just like the way we here's the song, just like he's singing, ooh, baby, ooh, ooh. So when she, like, stuck it onto the end of the chorus, I was like, yeah, duh.
Yeah, duh.
No, we get the reference. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, duh.
So someone else's song improved it.
Yep, good.
Essentially.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Number, what are we up to, 7?
Yep.
Number 7 from Evermore is the song Happiness. Phoebe, I hate to say it, but this is a Mine Right Now song.
Ooh, all right.
Hey. It's about, well, kind of. It's about, it's in the part where you like enjoy it for what it was,
yep,
kind of thing. So it's kind of about like
live in the moment a little bit.
Yeah, like moving on. Well, you, it's like after it's happened.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess, another like post Mine Right Now song. It's like moving on from a decaying relationship, but you like look back and acknowledge the like bits of joy that existed within it. So yeah, enjoying it for what it was. Happiness.
Happiness.
Happiness is a butterfly.
Oh, I was going to go again. Happiness hit her.
Like a twain on a thwack. It's one of my top 10 songs of all time.
Is it?
Yeah, Dog Days Are Over.
Yeah, it's pretty high up there. You're
Florence
right.
Welk from Florence and the McKean.
You're doing good today. Thanks. I like it. Track number 8 from Miles is one of my top 5 songs on the album, High. This song's like a wandering mind after a breakup and you're like overthinking.
Mm.
She's saying that she doesn't miss him, but she thinks of him and she doesn't know why.
Mm.
And it's just like she thinks she's over him, but she also can't get him out of her head.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, very powerful, overthinking. Oh, and it's just such a beautiful song. She hits those high notes, the whole chorus, and it's quite like a beautiful sort of so like haunting good. Song.
Yeah.
I love this song.
Obsessed with the results.
Obsessed with the results. And as we said, from here, the album just like took off. I was going to say it's annoying it's at the second half of the album, but it's better than having these songs at the start of the album and then the album getting
trickling out
worse. Mm. I think it's good. It picks up.
Yeah. Oh, love this song. I did a car review for this album. I think I messaged you by the time I got to work. I was like, you know, stream it now. It was so good.
Yeah.
I was in the car. I was like, oh, okay. Okay.
All okay.
Right. Go bestie. Right. Go bestie. Best friend. That's my best friend. Drop the album. So I texted her. I said, great job, Nadine. I wish.
Nah, if well, I was bestie. In America, I'd sign up to her number. Like, yes. Marley has like that number. And
her and James Charles.
Like text you updates and stuff. But in Australia, it costs some money.
No, ma'am.
No, thank you.
Well, for me, track 8, I'm reading my notes and it looks like I wrote diarrhea. But in fact, I wrote Dorothea.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like, it's like the prequel to Tis the Damn Season.
Right.
So it's about a girl leaving the small town to go to the big city.
Oh.
Like, fine. Didn't have much to say about this one either.
Oh, it just wasn't that good.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Yeah. No, I have to say that's really good and they're all 10 out of 10 tracks because I don't want to get in trouble by Annie Swiftie. So it's the best album ever, but it was my least favorite song. It was like, it got the lowest 10 out of 10 score.
Oh.
Yep.
It was out of 10 out of 10, it was the one with the least 10s out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, whatever, but fair enough. Track number 9 on Miley Cyrus's beautiful hot pink album, Plastic Hearts, is Hate Me.
Ugh.
Now, I just know the exact vibe Miles was going for when she wrote this, which is, this is the song I want people to play when I die. Mm-hmm, it is. Mm-hmm. It is the exact vibe of a song where it's like, oh, but this is what she would have wanted when she passes away.
Yeah.
Because the whole chorus is basically saying like, when I die, I hope all of my friends get drunk and high.
Mm.
So I just know that I won't be alive for the day. But if Miley Cyrus ever passes away, I just know that everyone's going to be getting drunk and high and saying like, this is what she wants. She's told us like when she passes, this is what she wants. So I'm like, yeah, I see you, Miley. You're trying to have that post-humorous song.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much, it's my favorite, I believe, from the album. And it just paints such a good picture of like, I can totally imagine like in that movie, she's like passed away and they're not like mourning her death, but they're like celebrating her life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like after the funeral, it's like a bunch of her friends by a cliff face near the beach and they're like,
I can see it.
In their, like, Midwestern town they hate.
Yeah.
And they, like, don't fit in and they hate everyone there and they hate their parents and they've gone, they've snuck Dad's whiskey from next to the gun cabinet because he's a cop and they've driven out and they're sitting around and they're, like, having a swig each and just, like, being like, man, life's fucking shit. Like, lucky Miley, she got away and being like, cheers to her and, like, pour a bit out and, like...
Someone gets had a doobie. They start getting drunk and high.
Yep. Have a little shed a tear, have a hug, and then like
end of the movie. Smile and laugh and realize maybe life's not that bad because they have one another.
Whoa.
Movie coming out next summer, guys.
Obsessed with that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the exact vibe.
What are we up to now? Nine?
Nine.
Track nine? Yeah, track nine for me is Coney Island featuring The Nationals. Again, it's like a fine track. I'm not obsessed. The Nationals is Adam Dressner, Aaron Dressner. And you can tell from this one, like, he was like, obviously he's the influence on both the albums sonically.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just like, it's like the blueprint. It's like the if it was like the tree of life kind of thing, this is like the seed and everything else sprouted from that, you know, because it's, but then that makes it not as interesting because it's just like so clearly the album sound in like in quotes.
Yep.
That it doesn't have any groundbreakingness to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
And like, I'm not obsessed with his vocals. Whatever. No, it's a 10 out of 10.
I don't whatever, but again. It's still a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Track number 9 on Miley's is Bad Karma with Joan Jett. Ew. And I love this song.
Hey, girly.
All the little like, there's like these fun little sounds in the background. I vibe it so hard. I love it. And like Bad Karma, like, so what? It's don't even get me into it. It's such a good car song. I love those songs that are like powerful in the car. Love car songs. And it's because it does that thing where it's like the surround speaker where it goes left to right and it alternates. But it alternates with the like the little in the background. Oh, it's so good.
Slayana.
Love it. This is also another one of my top five. When we get to the end of the album, I'll tell you my rankings of my top five songs.
Period. Track 10 for me, Evermore, was the song Ivy. If I had to sum this bad boy up in one word, I would say yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yee freaking ha. She's giving me Kacey Musgrave vibes.
Oh.
I don't know the name of the instrument, but the one that's like meow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like that cowboy sound. Just take my word for it. Yeah. It's in there. So I was obsessed. It's about, what's about someone falling in love with someone who isn't her husband.
Uh-oh. Oh,
scandalous. But it's another one of my favorites. And I just love the vibes. I love a yeehaw vibe. Vibes. Good for her.
Track number 10 is Never Be Me. This song. Ooh, this is my favorite song on the album, Never Be Me. It's about Miley and Liam, and it's basically saying, like, if you want stability, if you want monogamy, it's not going to be me. It will never be me.
Looking for stable. That'll never be me.
It's basically saying Liam wants one thing, which is like the traditional monogamous relationship, stable, and Miley's a free spirit. She doesn't want monogamy. She doesn't want to be tied down to one person. This is all very heartbreaking for me because Miley and Liam were like my OTP.
Yeah.
Very sad.
But also...
Very self-aware.
Yeah. She does the thing I was talking about before. She like flips the last chorus.
Yeah.
So she does the like, instead of like, I'll never be stable and I'm going to be like, you know, monogamous and blah, blah, blah. She's like, if you want someone who's like loyal, like someone who fucks with you, like I'll be all you need.
Yeah.
She says.
Yeah, she switches it up.
So, legend shit. Legendary. 80s kind of vibe on those instruments.
As always.
I was obsessed from the get-go. I was like, okay,
ooh,
bestie.
Go bestie.
Now, track number 121 from me is the song Cowboy Like Me. If I had to give this one word review, it'd be yeehaw again. Not as good as Ivy, but still like yeehaw vibes.
Yeehaw.
That's all I got to say about that one. So I guess 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I like your ratings, your continuous ratings.
Yeah.
Track number 11 is Golden G-String.
Ah.
Oh, my God. This song is powerful. It's about the music industry. You know, she's put herself out there and she's done all these things and now she's reflecting. She's like, who did she do it for? Did she do it for herself? Did she do it to please her audience? Did she do it for her partner? You know, what was it for? It's like she's won the Golden G-String. She's got as high as she can get. And for what?
And for what? You did this for what?
And why not? Why not?
And
it's like the price of fame. Oh, I just very much enjoyed it. The vibes.
Yeah.
From the moment it started and that the instruments pick up, I was like, oh, this is different.
I thought, yeah, well, you look at Golden G-String, I thought it would be like very like Miley Cyrus and her dead pets. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Ooh, G-String, pussy, pussy, wee. Like,
exactly, exactly. But it wasn't.
It was like, yeah.
It was like sad.
Yeah.
Sad vibe. Obsessed. I'm into it.
Obsessed. Next one is Long Story Short.
Mm-hmm.
Good beat.
That's it.
Yep. I think it's about her boyfriend.
Oh.
Okay.
Yep.
10 right. out of 10.
You do a couple because I know that there's okay. like 17 or something on
Marjorie. Yep, this is an old lady track.
Oh,
it's about an old lady, about her grandma, I believe.
Oh, Marjorie. My grandma's name is Marilyn.
My grandma's middle name is Marjorie.
Oh wow. Mm. What's her first name?
Joy.
Oh, I love old ladies named Joy. That's funny.
And her best friend, her name was Hope.
Oh, Joy and Hope. Mm. That's really cute.
God bless. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Cool.
You give us one now.
So at the end of the album, she has three covers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, two covers, I should say. And one's the remix, the yeah. Stevie Nicks remix. Heart of Glass, her cover. This one has gone big on TikTok. People yeah. love this Miley Cyrus version. They like do it holding like a microphone stand and then they do a transition where they go from like dressed in like normal clothes to like really dressed up. Whew,
this
powerful.
Was yeah, this was the best promotion for the album. This
it
cover.
It was.
Such a smart move.
Such a smart move to add some covers on the end. It's songs people already know so they can immediately sing along.
Yeah.
Recognizable, and it's a different genre than she usually sings in. So people are like, "Oh, what's this album going
to
be?"
Exactly. It basically prepared for the album to come.
It
like
did.
Obviously the cover came out before the whole
yep.
idea of the album did.
Yep.
So like by doing this cover and the other cover that's on here,
yep.
we were like, we knew what to expect.
Exactly.
Got you hyped for it.
Good on her.
Genius
and
shit.
All her TikTok interactions recently. I know it's some intern, I don't believe it's Miley, but commenting on heaps of people's TikToks. So people are like, "Oh, Miley, what should I name my child?" And Miley's like, "California." So they did.
Miley, what hair color should I get? Shave it off.
Yep.
So she's bold.
Yep. Such is life. Yeah. Miley tells you to do something and you do it.
Now I'm up to a bit of a quirky little hit from yeah. Evermore with the song Closure. Okay, Pots and Pans Realness.
Okay.
This intro, it's really just her just banging shit together on a bit of like a loop.
Oh, weird.
It's a weird intro. Giving me very, very Sophie, very PC music vibes. Like, it's my second favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love I do 100 gigs. Yeah. So obviously it's my second favorite. But I like the meaning of this one.
Yep.
I vibe with this. I think you'll be like, fuck yeah, bitch.
Fuck you, bitch.
So what this is about, it's called Closure. But it's in the way that like happiness was about like an unhappy kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Closure is about not finding closure. But not in a like, oh, I want it. In like a, no, I don't want it.
Oh.
Like it's like she doesn't want to like cleanly move on. She like owns that the relationship was like jagged and it's like changed her as a person.
Mm.
And so like it wasn't perfect, but she dealt with it in her own way and she's like happy with how she got through it.
Yep.
And so the other person has like come to you for, you know, closure in mm-hmm. air quotes, but it's like they're doing it because they want to feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
And so she's saying like, no, like I don't need this closure that you're trying to get for your own benefit. Like I've moved on, I've healed my own way, I'm happy and I don't need you like smoothing me over. Like I'm happy with it ending imperfectly because that's kind of a part of who I am now. I was like, yeah, bitch,
tell him.
I was like, okay, relating. And not about Theo, so that's good. Relating, so obsessed. And that's why it's my second favorite track.
Mm. I'll just touch on the last two because we sort of spoke about the Edge of Midnight Sky remix before. With Stevie Nicks, yes, love. Much more than Midnight Sky on its own.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah. Yep.
Easy. And then the last one is the cover of the Cranberries' Zombie.
Mm.
Ooh. I love it. It's just so cool. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Miley, if anything, she's cool.
Mm.
Like, she's a cool girl. She's got a mullet. Like,
yeah.
She just does what she wants.
She's doing hot girl shit.
She's doing hot girl shit. Yeah. She's cool. And this cover is cool, like, unexpected.
Yeah.
Like, Heart of Glass, I was like, yeah, like, this is really her.
Mm.
But, like, Zombie would never have picked that she would sing that. And it was incredible.
She did great.
The sort of vibe I got from this is when she covered Jolene.
Yolene. Oh, obviously, that was another career.
That was like, whew, yeah. That was like, no, this is her. Maybe she's not pop. Maybe she's like, yeah. You know, more country. And she is obviously a country girl at heart.
Mm.
But I think that like the more rock genre does suit her, suits yeah. her raspy voice. But with the Jolene one, obviously Dolly Parton is her godmother.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a connection. I wasn't that surprised about it. But again, Zombie, I was like, ooh,
yeah.
Unusual love. So that was Miley Cyrus's album. I loved it.
Mm.
I truly did. Lots of songs that I was like a bit iffy on, but because of how much I loved the really good songs, it like brought it back up. After Chris has done his, we'll do our like top songs from each back album.
Yep.
Yep.
And so the last song on the album, Evermore, is, you guessed it, Evermore.
Mm.
The title Sweet. Track right at the end.
Mm. Which is smart.
Interesting for Carly, except for her most recent album, it was her second track was always the title track.
Right.
And that was a... So I don't know why I said that now that she's not doing it anymore. What
for a while she was.
So what did this have to add to what I'm about to say? Nothing, but I just wanted to bring up Carly.
Nice.
Hey, babes.
Got to get her name bestie. In there.
Yeah.
Put it in the tags.
So anyway, back to Taylor. Evermore, title track. Bon Iver's on this one.
Comes I always feet. Just want to mention anytime Bon Iver comes up, always called him Bon Iver my whole life.
Mm.
Always thought he was one man. Nope. It's Bon Iver and it's a band.
Yeah.
No one in that band is called Bon Iver, if you were curious, guys.
Yeah, so Bon didn't do this.
Mr. Iver wasn't him.
But anyway, there was a Pond Session Netflix show where she did, like, sang all the tracks and they talked about the bit for Folklore.
No.
He comes on for his, they have a song called Exile together and he, like, comes on.
Yes, I know that song.
I saw as he was singing his part, I said, oh, he's got his computer screen up. Interesting. What? Oh,
it was that's the lyrics.
That's the lyrics he's looking up.
Oh, my God.
I was like, good for you, King. So, yeah, hopefully cool. He doesn't need the lyrics for this one.
Doing hot guy shit.
But again, it's another, like, little duet. And in Exile, he was like, I can see you standing right here. And, you know, like, as a skinny lovinator, as someone who's listened to the Ivester before, I'm like, where are those, like, really dulcet, like, high tones, you know? I was like, missing out. Good deep voice still, but like, give me those, And he gave it.
Good.
He pulled through in Evermore.
Good on him.
They were, like, layering their vocals together. He was, like, up here. I was like, yes, bitch. Go, bestie. And so I thought it was a good finish.
That's good.
I think I enjoyed Exile more than Evermore.
Oh.
You think you'd enjoy Evermore more.
Evermore more.
But here we are.
Exile more more.
Well, the Pond Session for Exile was really good. The, like, live.
Yep.
So.
I love live versions of songs.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to talk about someone else unrelated, but let's keep it focused, Chris.
So, what Focus was your favorite songs on this album?
Favorite? If I want to... I'm, again, not a big enough Swiftie to do this back-to-back every day for the next 10 years like everyone else is. But if I, like, if I'm going from Theo's House to Home, I can cue, and what I do cue is Tolerate It, Happiness, Ivy, Closure, and Evermore.
Right. So they're your five.
My five. Yeah. So that's my top five. And then, obviously, like I said, Tolerate It being number one. And Closure being number two.
Yep.
But yeah, like, oh, Willow as well, but I listened to that by itself.
Yeah. Not in the queue.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Well, my top five from Miley's, number one was Never Be Me, just very, very, very sad. Never Be Me. Then High, then Golden G-String, but sort of Golden G-String and High, I would say they're actually like joint, like a joint number two.
Besties, yeah.
And then Bad Karma and Angels Like You.
Mm.
Very sad album when you really look at the lyrics. It's very much a breakup album.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And, like, they, just to get a little bit sad for a moment,
get it,
Miley and Liam really have been through it all. And Miley has said on a podcast they probably wouldn't have got married so quickly if their house didn't burn down in California with the bushfires. She said that was real, like... A traumatic event in her life. She lost everything.
Mm.
And, it really annoys me when people go, yeah, but she has the money to get it back. Yeah, okay, she has money. It would still be traumatizing losing everything that you've bought with that money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like personal things.
Yeah, it's like all her like songwriting, all her books and all of her photos and stuff. It's just sad. But as she said, you know, she was okay because her pets were okay.
Mm.
And that's what was important to her.
Miley Cyrus and her alive pets.
Exactly. Better album than the dead pets.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they went through lots of stuff and then, you know, pandemic, and then they weren't married for very long. It was just all very sad. So it was a sad album for me personally to listen to. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I, definitely as someone who wasn't a massive Swiftie until like this year, really.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I enjoyed Lover. It was like fine, yeah.
Yeah, that's like I love 1989, but I wouldn't say I'm a Swiftie. So I can't wait to listen to this album.
But yeah, I've definitely had a big, as basically a music expert and someone really well informed on music and really smart and knows a lot of stuff and is also really handsome and humble. I mad respect for Taylor dropping these two albums during quarantine.
Yeah, crazy. And she said in her Instagram post how like they just couldn't stop writing. Yeah. So they're like, may as well.
Again, something Carly does, but anyway. And yeah, so I think I appreciate the lyricism in these because it was something I really didn't pick up, even though that's what she's kind of known for.
Yep.
I would definitely say these two are the best quarantine albums I've heard.
For sure.
Yeah, like I rate it more than Charlie's one, which was like one of my top listens, obviously. So.
Well, Taylor Swift as well with these albums, her last two, has gone a bit different than her usual pop. It's just not as pop.
This is the best time for artists, and Miley's in it now. It's when you're in that point of the career where you're so famous that you don't have to do the like manufactured cookie cutter shit to get there. You're already there, so you now have the base to actually explore other avenues.
I'm sort of waiting for the boys from One Direction to get to that, where you know they've left.
Well, Harry's done
One Direction. Harry's done it. Zayn obviously left early and released his album. It just didn't really take off as much. Obviously, we know Harry's already. He's the shining star. He's escaped.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the other boys to like sort of find that space where they can just release the music they want to release. I think only Harry at the moment has that sort of full platform.
Yeah. For
it, but they all came from the same space. The boys can get there.
Except for Liam Payne.
You're not like Liam?
LP. Were you one of the five people that bought it?
Anyway, guys, thanks for listening to this very special episode of Are We Famous Yet?
Are We Famous Yet?
Are We Famous Yet? Thank you. We just wanted to do something a little bit different.
Quirky.
Just to break up our usual pattern. Something for the new year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed. Hope you are having a good 2021. Slay.
Slay.
Slay. Best Slay. Behavior.
We love you guys.
Bye. Bye.